because it's Madonna, man. And last episode, we watched Madonna do some serious, amazing things with the bottle. So we're going to go with it, especially after that fucking win last night. That was fucking amazing, guys.
That win.
Oh, my God. Like, if you're not an Oklahoma City fan, diehard fan right now, then fuck off, first of all. Second of all, this is fucking our team, man. We're for real. We're not going anywhere. This is the next step of the whole process, and we're getting to that step.
Bro, that was like, I don't know. I haven't been that excited about a basketball game in a while. It's kind of felt cool. Like, and you know, usually when we're winning the last few years, like, people are like, oh, you know, they're missing someone. Yeah, obviously full strength teams are hard to beat. That's reality. But I don't know, the Mavs missing anybody.
It doesn't matter, man.
But I'm just curious, were they?
I don't think they were. I'm looking at their roster right now.
Nothing super notable. Yeah, I just kept thinking the whole game. I was like, man, we're doing this against a legit team. This isn't just some sort of down team. Like, the Mavs are good, and Luka's in his prime. Like,
he's so good.
Like, defense. Like, holy shit. Our defense was impeccable. I mean, obviously, Luka afterwards saying that Dort's definitely a top three NBA defender. Dude, that's why he should have had a fucking bag. Like, so he's got money, man. Like,
Luka should have had 50 last night. Like, if Dort wasn't guarding him, he would have had 50 because Dort made everything so hard in the fourth quarter. The easy shots were no longer easy for him because he was tired.
Did you see? Okay, well, throughout the game, Luka's frustration was clear. Luka doesn't really hide his frustration. But there was a play. there was a play in the fourth quarter where it was the inbound, and Luka was just like right up on. Oh, sorry. Dort was right up on Luka. And Luka just like threw his hands up with like just this sheer, like, he was just broken by it. He was worn the fuck out. Dort was like Velcro last night. Like, you were saying in your text that he's brilliant at creating those offensive screen fouls. But man, it's because he's stuck to the motherfucker. Nobody gets any space. So when you're stuck that close, it's impossible to set an effective screen. Like, it takes, basically, Dort commits to realize if he's going to get screened, it's going to knock him out, like, or knock him over. It's going to lay him out. But if you're going to do that, you better do it right. Because if you don't do it right in the NBA anymore, you're going to get caught. And Dort's going to be the one that shows that.
And the way that he convinces the ref to blow that whistle is amazing. Because half of that time, there's barely any contact. And he sells it every single time. And to me, it's just like, okay, like, that was last night. What, 4 extra possessions that we got because of it?
Yeah. You see, he gets those extra possessions, but I don't think he sells it like flops sell it.
No. It's not a flop. There's contact made.
There's real contact, too. Like, it's not just like, it's in the knees, it's in the legs, and that's real contact that you really can, like, sell. So he might be hemming it up a bit, but, man, he blew me. And then Bazley's defense on him, too, was really good. Bazley's coming into himself. Like, I see who Bazley's going to be. And, like, he's that power four. Like, he's not as tall. He's not necessarily a scorer, but he's strong. He's not afraid to D up any position. He's got this ability to finish in the basket. That's where you really see his power. Like, when he gets up with two hands, that signature Bazley dunk coming, like, down the lane, he's one foot inside of the free throw line, like, and two hand just goes up soaring. Like, nobody even gets in his way. As soon as they see Baze has entered, like, his jump zone, every defender in the NBA hands gets off. The fuck out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, our guys are known for certain things, and it's becoming real. Like,
I want everybody to understand this. I'm saying this with all due respect to the other podcast out there. But I listened to 4 or 5 other podcasts that were ready to give Bazley away for free.
Yeah,
like,
man.
We will take a late second round draft pick for Bazley. And it's like, guys, don't give up on him. You know, that's what we've been preaching all the time on here. Bazley's worth keeping. He's special. He has a little it factor with him. And that's what was so special about last night is that, you know, I threw up those block shots that Bazley has, right? I think he's been averaging like 2 or 3 a game for the last few games. But the majority of those shot blocks are coming from the three-point line. And then you look at his hustle stats, right? The contested threes, he's top seven contested three-point shots in the NBA. He's always there. His defense is completely shut down, and it was really the difference in the game last night. Let's go over the score real quickly and then talk about some of these players, but it was an overtime game. Go ahead.
I was just asked, did you say Mark might be jumping on?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Guys, Mark might be jumping on here, by the way. At this point, he's shopping with his wife. And John and I wanted to get on and start this podcast because we were just hyped and ready to go. So he'll be jumping on in here in a minute. But, dude, let's just get into this. Last night, down 15 with 4 minutes left to go in the game.
Not a lot.
Like, what the fuck happened? Like, this is what happens. Let me tell you what happened. We wore them out. We wore them out so much that they had nothing left in the tank. And that's what our defense does every single night. And no lead is safe. If you're able to come back in 4 minutes, and we didn't score a bucket in the last minute, so we came back in 3 minutes. We scored 15 points in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry.
Crazy.
19 points in 3 minutes because they had two buckets. Guys,
man,
this team's ready.
Right when the end of the drought ran, or the end of their run kind of stopped, and we started to like score. I think we had scored one bucket, and the Mavs announcer, because I was watching the Mavs talk, which, by the way, if you guys have a league pass or whatever, and you want to hear what the NBA thinks of us, listen to the other announcers. Like, it's a whole different story than even what our own pods and our own Twitters are talking about. Like, people see what's happening in OKC. Yeah, it's going to be some time before we're going to be looking at rings or anything like that. But, man, like, people see it's happening. And anyways, I was listening, and right around that point that we started our run, the announcer said, the only thing we can't afford to do here is give up really quick buckets and not make our possessions count. And literally the next five possessions, he was like, they're doing exactly what I said we can't allow them to do. They're scoring super fast, and we're getting stopped every time. We just, the lead just evaporated, like, faster than ever, Bill. It took them like a quarter and a half. Like, we played horrible on the offensive side. Like, we were still fighting on defense in the third quarter. I think it just kind of, everybody dried up. That third quarter was brutal for both teams. And then I thought to myself at the end of the third, I said, oh, if end of the third, we go into this fourth and we don't figure something out, we're going to get blown out because they're going to catch their stride. And they did. And then, you know, our guys said, we're not out yet, man.
Oh, yeah.
Not out yet.
Let's just say our guys said that, but Isaiah Joe was really the deciding factor in this right there. I mean, we can say anything you want, but Mark and I have talked about Isaiah Joe on this podcast a lot because I told Mark on a podcast, I was like, this guy is going to be a top 10 shooter in the league after Coach England has a few weeks with him. Isaiah Joe has one of the purest shots I have ever seen. And you know what? He plays so much bigger than he is. Like, how the living fuck did we get him for free? Yeah. Like, this young man is going to come out here and he's going to be a staple to this team for a very long time.
You know, it was a brilliant coaching move. And Daigneault said he didn't take a lot of credit for it. He tried to, like, hands off. You know, Joe just stepped into the role. But, like, they were seeing we were getting open shots consistently in the third quarter, and nobody could hit them third and fourth quarter. We were getting the shots we wanted. If you watch our offense, we get the shots we want, and we really only take the shots thanks to Shea. Like, the defense is sliced all hell by the time we get the balls back out. Yep. And all of a sudden we got someone that could hit the shot. And I think, you know, Daigneault probably knew, hey, they say he can shoot. He didn't know much about him, whatever, knew that they could say he could shoot. And he thought, let's put him in and see if he can pick up our offense. And it's a motion offense. Like, it's not, there's some twists and turns to our motion offense, but it's a motion offense. And we keep the ball rotating, and he fit right in, and he just hit the shots. And Shea's drive and kick to him, what was the one that tied it, right?
Oh, yeah.
The drive and kick, he just caught and shot.
And like, what, 11 seconds left or something like that, 14 seconds left.
It was smooth as butter, man. It was incredible. And then overtime, he just kept going. He said, I want to play, coach. I want to play.
I think you look at our top 10 guys, right? And you see all these guys putting in 20 plus minutes a game. And you're like, okay, Isaiah Joe's gotten cleanup minutes last couple of games, and then all of a sudden gets 9 minutes. And what does he do in 9 minutes? Listen, he doesn't do it right away. You know, he doesn't come out bombing threes right away. He comes out, gets part of this offense, running around, setting screens, playing hard defense. And guess what happened? He got rewarded. He got rewarded in a huge way last night. I'm 90% sure he scored most of his 15 points in a matter of 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and crazy. If you look, yeah, it's just insane, man. You can't say enough about this young man.
They were subbing him out on defense at points and putting him back in for the three, because obviously we've got some really seasoned defenders like we need out
there. Yeah, Kenny Hustle.
We weren't hitting the shot, and we needed that shot. And like, to just on your first real appearance with the team to fall into that spot and really prove it and earn it that way, like, you know, he'll take some time to be that staple. I think, you know, coach is really respectful of guys being there a while and earning their spots into places. And so like, he'll start getting more and more burned, but you guarantee you're going to see him again. And man, this team develops, like, that's what they do. Like, I know our fans, I know there are fans out there who are ready to move on Baisley, but like, you know,
don't sell out, guys.
You can see from him, he's got a bit of a confidence issue. But like, if you haven't had a confidence issue at some point in your life, you're probably lying to everybody. Like, that's kind of the reality. Like, at some point or another, we all deal with that. And imagine being on a big scale and all of a sudden, you know, having to deal with your confidence issue there. But he's developing. Like, he even looks more himself, finally. He looks to understand who he is. He plays the game. He knows how to play. And he's really cleaning up a lot of buckets, getting a lot of, like, hard-earned points. And he's getting more shots that he's missing some because he's still learning that touch in the inside area. But, man, it's coming along really nice. And the amount of athleticism, talent he has – and to think, like you said, I just came back to it, but like, they just, people want to get rid of him already. It's madness to me.
Yeah, it's why we've been educating people about Baisley and other guys on this team. It's simple. Baisley is not a guy that's going to average 15 points. Yeah, he had 15 points last night, but he's not going to average 15 points a game for the next few years. That's not his goal. The way he plays defense is why he's out on that court. It's simple as that. He's out there playing at a high level on defense, whether he's playing a guard, gets switched over to the guard. It goes back to that position. Baisley is one of the few guys that I've seen that can guard 1 through 5 on this team.
Yeah.
I mean, he just can. His footwork's good playing against the one guard, and we saw that with Luka last night. Yeah, Luka's a little bit bigger of a guard, but you see this comfortability of being able to go play Luka and then switching down and playing Christian Wood or whoever else he was supposed to switch out. Listen. Yeah. Baisley needs to get a lot of credit here because of the way he played. His flush to the hole in the fourth quarter and the one that he dunked and he pulled himself up on the rim, unbelievable shot. Unbelievable drive to the hole and slip. Yeah. Everything else that he needs to do, he's doing it right now. He doesn't need to go out there and shoot up a bunch of shots. We shot 5 for 25 on three-pointers. That's 20%. Yet another time that we have barely shot, well, I say barely shot 20%. We shot 20%, but we got a win against the Clippers shooting 13% from three.
Yeah.
I think this is what's so powerful is that this is showing us we don't need to hit threes to win games. Now, yes, we needed threes last night because we had only hit 2 threes prior to Joe coming in the game.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, we can say anything you want. Lou Dort hit his only three of the game in the first quarter, and then Kenny Hessel hit some plays in between the second and third.
Yeah.
Nothing in the fourth quarter, and Isaiah Joe comes out just bombing it, man. This is truly insane. Like, watching this team starting to come together, we can say, oh, yeah, you know, Coach D was right. We had Omorari coming up and playing today, and Jalen Williams coming and playing today, and we sent Osman Jang and Jalen Williams, J. Will, to the G League to get minutes. Now, I believe that J. Will got sent to that G League, one, because he has a massive body, right? You have to get that more tone to be able to play a lot of minutes in the NBA. So I think you have Jalen Williams going down to get more physique in his built, which is great. I mean, he could probably add 20 pounds of muscle and be good. And Osman Jang just needs the minutes right now. And we have other guys that are stepping up.
Man, you can't. This isn't a bad thing. We've done this before. We've seen this before. This is a Thunder. I mean, I guess it's the kind of whole NBA now, but like nothing to worry about with these guys going down. They're draft picks. They're here early. We're going to give them some time, develop them. Minutes are everything in any sport, just doing it.
Yeah. I mean, if Chet were to come back this season, he would not start off in the NBA. You know, he would start off with the G League and getting his minutes up. And that's how we're using our G League. That's special. And that's exactly what we're going to do all season. Yeah. So, and it's something Mark and I talked about is that Osman Jang is NBA ready. He has the NBA minutes ready to go, but he does need to figure out exactly. I mean, he needs to be out there 15 to 20 minutes a game. And if he's not getting that burn right now, then he needs to be able to go play in the G League so he can continue with the system that they teach in the G League. It's the same system in the NBA. So it's helping him out. We saw it help out Poku. We've seen it help out Trey Mann. Another number of other players that no longer play with us went to the G League, and it's just part of it. And I was just really impressed again with the flow of everything. Omorari, two-way player. He was in the G League, played well, comes up here. I mean, when I say play well, you got practice and everything else like that going on. So we need to see this type of stuff from our guys. And again, seeing how the minutes were dispersed last night was pretty cool. You have leading Shea, 41. Lou Dort, 40. We have Aaron Wiggins, again, right in the top three people for minutes. He had 27. And then we had 26 Trey Mann, 26 Jalen Williams, J-Dub, 26 Baisley. And then we had 24 for Poku. This is great shit, man. Poku got in foul trouble. Lou Dort got in foul trouble. Trey Mann got in foul trouble. But it's hustle plays that we're getting in foul trouble. It's the physicality that everybody hates in the NBA except for us.
You got to play that way, especially when you're undersized and you're dealing with guys. I mean, that's the thing about our team is they have to earn their spots. And when you have to earn your spots, it's different. Like, it's a whole different story. And the shooting's going to come. It's going to happen. Like, I believe that there's a good shot and a bad shot in the NBA. And once everybody's, you know, getting proper shooting training, and they all are, the good shots come within the offense, and the bad shots try when you try to force it. And I think that every one of our shots, not everyone, occasionally the two people we want to be trying to force it do try to force it. You know, sometimes Trey Mann and Shea try to force that three ball, but they're our scorers right now. They're identified, in my opinion, as the two with the most capability of scoring. So they're going to shoot. But the rest of the players, they're all shooting in the offense.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like 7th through 10th somewhere in possessions per game in the NBA. And that's because we're willing to take open shots within the offense. And sometimes that's a three ball. And if it doesn't go, it doesn't go. We're going to get another possession because we took that early enough to recycle.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because just before the game, we heard Michael Cage talk about that we were a top five defensive team. Plus, our turnover plus margin is the best in the NBA. We've had the most points off of turnovers in NBA. Like, this is stuff that we've been talking about and watching the team the last couple of years and watching them build and how they're going to play defense. I watched in that overtime in that end of that fourth quarter, guys. If you have time and you haven't seen it, somehow get a hold of it, because all you see is jerseys going crazy. I mean, bro, I've yet to see guys that motivated to play in a very, very long time, especially in the NBA. You see this in college ball where people are like, man, I want minutes. I don't care. But when you get to the NBA, people are like, oh, yeah, I'll get minutes if I want to. And it's like, boom, our guys are out there hustling, balls to the fucking wall. If there's a loose ball, we're there. Our defense, our trapping defense, our zone/man defense, dude, it is next level. Teams are really having a hard time with it. And especially when we lock down, there's nobody that can score on us. And like I said, Luka had a great night. Great night. But he would have had 50 if Dort wasn't there.
Yeah. I don't think we've actually said enough about my man Shea here.
We haven't said anything about Shea.
We're getting to it. Let's just say that. Like, holy shit. One moment I was like, oh, he's going to get 40 tonight. Like, what if he gets 40 tonight and just like, hello, NBA. Like, you guys forget about me over here. Like, he's putting such, what is he at, 34 points average or 33 points average in the season?
I was about to pull that up as you're talking about it.
I think he was at 29 before he dropped 38. It was his fifth game. I don't know. He's got to be right up there. He's over 30 now. Like, The guy is really coming a long ways, and to see everybody else that we're hyped about and talking about and praising
31.
Right now, he's what 31 points. Yeah, like it's wild to me. Like, and it's all his drive. You know, he gets
so
this
true.
Is his third season in the row so far to lead the NBA in drives. He sets the culture in our team as leading the NBA in drives. Every one of our players take after him. And continue to do that same, like this is Shea's game that we're all mastering and perfecting how to fit around. And if you don't see that, like, you're missing it. People talk during the offseason about maybe it's time to move Shea. No, like, the entire structure is built on the way Shea plays basketball. Because that, I mean, it's fundamentally correct. You should always try to get to the paint before you take a three. I mean, unless you're Steph Curry and the Warriors, by all means, do what you guys want. Like, but yeah. It's wild to see. We're figuring it out.
Think about this for Shea. There's the top four players in the NBA about scoring in the lane. All right. You've got Giannis, you've got Joker, you've got third one, Shea, fourth player, Luka. All right.
Jeez.
That's the top four right there, guys. And I get it. It's only the six games in the season. But that's the most exciting part right there. You know, like, looking at Shea and understanding exactly what Shea's been able to do with his team and understanding where he's taking this team is truly phenomenal. Like, looking what he did last night, he's the only player in the NBA that hasn't missed a free throw. Thank you to Steph Curry. You know, you're looking at his assists last night. He had 38 points. He had, one block, two steals, nine assists, six rebounds, two of which are offensive. 8 for 8 in free throws, 0 for 2 in three-pointers. Again, that's, you know, he's going to be hard on himself. But then he shot 55% from the field goal, 15 for 27. I can't get enough of what he does for this team and how he gets that hole and how he gets free throws and gets to the free throw line on a consistent basis, where you feel like the NBA has been stopping, you know, this James Harden free throw line, you know, 40 attempts a game type thing. You got Shea stepping up and making it difficult. Like, I saw at least 5 plays where Shea drove that he was fouled on, and they called nothing last night.
He doesn't get the respect he will in a couple years.
In a couple years. Listen, at the end of the year, if he gets an All-Star and he gets an All-NBA, which I think he should deserve by the end of the season if he's healthy, then, yeah, he's going to get that respect where he goes to the lane and gets fouled. And, like, Luka gets that respect. I felt like there was, like, 7 calls last night that I was really disappointed with. The one call that they overturned that broke my heart, but they did it right, was the Isaiah Joe charge at the end of the fourth quarter. Isaiah Joe stepped up and took a charge. They waved it off, but Luka was in the air shooting the ball. So they had to take the ball outside, out in the perimeter, and we ended up getting a steal instead of him taking free throws. Again, the way Isaiah Joe plays and understands, it was great. I mean, to step up like that, like he did in that fourth quarter. And if he had got that charge, it would have been a completely different ballgame. Now, we got a steal and a bucket, but it's phenomenal looking at these guys, looking at what they can do. You know, J.R. Reed didn't get a lot of burn last night. He got 5 minutes. Omorari got 9 minutes. Mike Muscala got 11. Kenny Hustle got 17, but he was in there closing out the game in that overtime and in that fourth quarter playing some amazing defense. And we already went through all the guys that were in the 20s. And you look at other teams, man, and you say, okay, we played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 13 guys last night, or 12 guys last night. That's insane. You know, it's the 12-man rotation, 14, 15, 15, 16. It doesn't matter, man, rotation. Then you've got, on the other side, you've got a team like Dallas that had really 3 deep.
Three off the bench, that's it.
That's it. I mean, they had one guy that had 15 minutes and one guy that had 3 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
But really, 8 guys came on, really played in the game. This is what we've been talking about for a long time, is that when you have this amount of guys, right?
Yeah.
And you look at these guys and all their starters, you know, you got Luka with 40 minutes. You've got Dorian Finley-Smith, 35, Reggie Bullock, 37. Right. And then you look at our team and our guys, yes, we played a little bit more minutes with than they did. Shea got 41 and Dort got 40. But
yeah, but you had to have them.
Exactly. They pulled out Luka at some point when they got some leads and they let him sit. To me, this is exactly what we're doing. And now next game, you'll see Shea not play as many minutes and Dort get a little bit less minutes. But it's that way that we bring in 12 guys off of our bench ready to play. And it doesn't matter if they get 5 minutes or 9 minutes like Isaiah Joe. They're ready to rock and go.
Yeah.
It's amazing, man.
It's a different brand of basketball. It's something that basically we don't let people play their game. They want to settle into their game, and we're not willing to let them have that. And we're going to play our game. We're going to keep doing our thing and keep going to the basket. It's crazy. There's so many different moments that you just want to like go back and relive. Like I could watch the game again, except maybe skip the end of the third and start of the fourth. Well, that wasn't my favorite part.
When we talked about the beginning of the season, and Mark and I were putting projections up of how many wins we would have through, you know, 5, 6, 7, 12 games, whatever, right? I made the comment that I felt like this team could go something like 6-4, 7-3, right? In the first 10 games, and be like 4-2 after that, the first 6 games. I mean, I'm not that far off. You know what I'm saying? We're right there. Yeah. And yeah. I think that's the thing about this team is that when we started 0-3, I immediately was like, oh shit, I really miscalled that. And I still can miscall it. We could still lose a bunch of games in a row. But if you see the fight in the dogs, and I say the dogs in the most respect because these guys are hustling all out, ready to go, and it's like we let the dogs loose. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like we literally said, go fucking get them. Fucking bite their necks off. Like do whatever it fucking takes to get this win. And those guys went out and they literally crushed everything. And it was just like, like, dude, that last 4 minutes of the game, man, I was 2 inches away from my fucking TV.
I was watching on my phone, and it was insane. I was looking who we got the Magic on Wednesday. Is that our next game?
I think so.
I think we can handle the Magic.
I was 2 inches away from my TV, man. I was 2 inches the last 4 minutes of the game, and I'm like, what the fuck's happening? What the fuck is happening? And like, it's one thing for to be a super fan and have a podcast and being out there and being like, I think this team could do something spectacular. And then it's all of a sudden another thing to see actually everything clicking. And it's like, did I expect this to happen this early in the season without Chet, without J-Dub up until today, you know, without some of our other main pieces because they've been out. Shea's been out a couple games. Josh Giddey's been out, you know. Yeah. Guys, we're not full strength at all, even close. And this is what we're doing. You know, Clippers aren't fucking chumps.
Who was down other than Giddey last night? I can't remember.
What's that?
Who else is down besides Giddey right now that J-Dub is back?
J-Dub's back, so Giddey is the only one out.
Giddey's the only one, well, obviously Chet.
Well, I mean, too. Chet, but
Giddey. Yeah. So, J-Dub, though, I'd say he wasn't 100%. Made some great plays, though. He played some good basketball, dude. Steals that he was just, like, waiting there for. Like, he just, like, knew the ball was going to be there. He looked like he was the intended receiver of the ball because he was so positioned, like two or three like that. A couple blocks. Four steals. How many blocks?
All right. They called one block, all right? But there was three times that I saw him get a hand of the ball at the rim. One time was around, I think it was Baisley. Dude, I don't know how they only got him one. Dude, I'm telling
you. How many did Baisley get?
Baisley had one.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, Puka's the only one we had that had two. Right. Man, but these guys, I'm telling you, like sometimes they don't count a block. They count it as a deflection. And it pisses me off. It's like, how do you fucking call that a deflection? He was at the rim. And it's because the score person calls it a fucking deflection. Fuck those people. Anyways, J-Dub should have had more than, like, he should have had 4 steals, 3 blocks. He had 3 assists, 3 rebounds, 3 for 3 in the free throws. 0 for 2 in three-pointers, 5 for 8 on field goals, which is at 62.5%. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ, man. This guy is truly spectacular. Like, you said he's not even healthy. You know, he's not 100%, and he's putting up these numbers. He played, you know, as a sixth man last night. And, man, everybody that I watched Luka watch him. I watched, you know, coach over Dallas, Jason Kidd watched him. They had this admiration for him.
Yeah.
And it's special because it's not something you see with a rookie very often.
He just fits right into the game. And I mean, the big thing I noticed last night is, yeah, he's not as comfortable in the offense as the rest of the team. But that's okay because he hasn't played with these guys in these positions. And like any, what, he played 3 minutes or something? Like, so, but he is comfortable on the court and on the NBA court with a very effective, strong team. And he didn't look lost or out of place or anything like that that you see sometimes. And some guys come in with that confidence, man. Some guys need a couple years to build the confidence, and you work with them and you do that. And other guys come in with it, and then you get to see something special. I mean, Trey, man, like last year, he didn't maybe lacked a bit of confidence the first part of the season, but he started to figure out, really started to figure it out, and then he came back this year like, all right, I got it, guys. Like,
man, there was a moment last night at the end of the game. Nick Gallo was interviewing Shea and Isaiah Joe. Right?
I didn't see that.
And he asked Shea what he thought about Isaiah Joe and how he came out and played and really helped him win the game. And Shea just, blah, love. You know, like,
yeah.
Here's the love I have for Isaiah Joe. And right afterwards, Isaiah Joe looks at him, goes, man, thank you, and then gives him a hug. Bro,
nice.
He's so happy to be here, and we're so happy to have him. It's amazing. This team loves everybody. And you see the appreciation in every single one. When somebody steps up and says something good about them, you know it makes them feel good. Yeah, you know, it makes them, it helps them. It revs up their engine. It makes them want to work harder. It's not like this.
It's Shea, man. Yeah. That's Shea's being a great teammate, a great leader.
Exactly, man. It's that captain, you know? Oh, captain, yeah. Oh, captain, right? Like, these guys will follow these to Shea into battle if Shea is out there talking praises about them all the time. You know, you have somebody that hasn't had a lot of burn time in his career, and all of a sudden he comes to Oklahoma City Thunder, and he's starting to feel like he belongs. And then he comes out and has a game like this, and everybody calls him the hero because they should, you know? And then after the game, Shea spends some time and gives him love. Man, this young man is going to eat that shit up, and he's going to work harder, and he's going to play harder. And it's exciting because of the cohesiveness of this unit.
How old is he? Do you know? I don't know anything about him, to be honest. That's like, I had heard his name a couple times, but this is
20 under 23 the last time I checked. But I can't be for sure. So don't,
I'm pulling it up here. He's 23. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So, man, he's young, you know, he got in the NBA at 21. He's got time.
Did you see he's 100% for last night?
Oh, yeah.
All his shots,
everything.
Free throw line, and his one jumper, three shots, 100%. Like, that's crazy to, like, come in and put up that. And it's not like he just took a few shots. Like, I think he did 2 free throws.
Yeah.
So, 6 dude. Total shots on an NBA
court. I want to – let's just bring it up real quickly. And keep on interrupting. I feel bad. The Uncontested podcast had a post the other night, right? They said, Isaiah Joe checks into the game for the first time with 5 minutes left for some reason. Like, I love it, dude. These guys are just fucking clueless. It's like, I respect anybody that's going to get on a podcast and talk, but using Twitter to push your propaganda is bullshit. And to say something like this, where in a way you're like dissing the team, oh, here comes Isaiah Joe. Why do we put him in? And then all of a sudden him go off for 15 points and hit the shot that leads us into overtime. Dude, eat your fucking words, man.
Oh, there's just such an attitude of negativity towards young athletes, and I don't get that shit. Like, everybody needs to – I don't know. Like, you just got to get behind your team, and especially when you can look and see what the organization's made out of. Like, that's my biggest thing about the Thunder. I obviously – Oklahoma, whatever, like, that connection. I haven't lived in Oklahoma in over a decade. Like, I don't necessarily care about that attachment as much as – the organization itself and how it's been run and how it continues to be run, the improvements that are being made. And like, in the end, you see that in the team and you know they're going to make the right steps and you get behind it. Like, I'm honestly, I'll follow Shea anywhere. Like, Shea's right. The dude. Like, he can be our captain all the time. Like, he knows what he's doing, and this is what we're seeing is incredible. I'm excited. I can't wait to see the rest of the season. Like, I know there're gonna be a lot of losses still, but I think we're going to put some, make a lot of people out there eat a lot of words about our win numbers.
Man, and the organization and something you said about the organization. Like, I feel like this deep admiration for this organization because of how it's been built. You know, like, yeah. You see these young men that are getting into the program and they're getting there and they're being successful, whether they stay or whether they go out into a different team, you know? It's powerful, man. Like, I look at each one of them and I say, you know, this is really neat how we can watch the Warriors and see players that we have that played last year for us, or, you know, DC, or, you know, whatever other team has players that, you know, play for us. It's powerful because you start recognizing, like, people really want our players. Yeah. You know, Isaiah, you know,
Roby's over in San Antonio.
And yeah. People really want our players. They recognize that what we're teaching, what we're having right now is key. And eventually our coaches are going to start getting taken all over the NBA. But right now, because of how young everybody is, everybody's letting these guys grow. And together in a cohesive unit, man, this is truly spectacular. We're watching videos every single day of these guys working out. They got great workout ethics. It's not like these guys are just out there talking the shit, shooting shots, not doing anything, you know? These guys are moving game shots, game situations, and they're doing some amazing things, and it's really, really, really powerful.
Man, I missed the whole draft cycle with you guys, but, like, one of the biggest things I took away, and it's what you're talking about with the organization. The number two, possibly number one draft pick in the NBA asked to join the Thunder. That was his choice. Like, okay, this isn't college, this isn't anything else. There's no recruiting. There's none of that. I mean, obviously, they're coming to training and stuff like that, but it's not the same way, right? But to get that level of recruitment because of our organization, because of what Chet and his agent know that we do for young players that need to develop into their NBA game, like, that's incredible. And we have guys, I mean, fucking Kenrich, the whole reason he signed with us, the whole reason he wants, like, he begged to stay with us. He wants to be here. It's a testament to what we do for guys, and we've developed so many NBA players, so many top NBA players, you know, great in their positions. I saw, what's his name, over, he left for Denver, Jeremy Grant, yep. Put up big numbers the other day. You can see it everywhere. You see these guys, when they leave the Thunder, unless they just didn't fit the organization, well, usually when they come into the team, they do fit, and it's impressive to see how Daigneault and the whole kind of organization pulls players in, and I think they develop the human, not just the player, you know?
Yeah.
That's something that's really interesting to me.
I was writing this down, so don't forget it, because I keep forgetting it. And it's exactly what you're saying. They develop the human, right? Sam Presti talks about it all the time. We do not draft players. We draft people. All right. In light of everything that's happened with Josh Primo, the 21-year-old young player there in San Antonio, you know, news came out with Barstool that the reason that San Antonio decided to move on from him was he continued to expose himself to women. All right. I get it. People have issues. Okay. But this goes right back to it. All those people that are like, hey, listen, we need to have players like this. We need to get a guy, young man like this to be on our team. He's the right pick. And I looked at Josh Primo and I broke his game down. I loved what he was able to do for Alabama. But now understanding more, I feel like, again, we're sitting in a situation that Sam understands and you know, he listens to his staff and the people that do the research, and they understand they are drafting people, not players. And that's how we introduce him into the whole Oklahoma City Thunder way, is by that. And it's truly powerful. Unbelievable.
It seems like a step up. I hope this doesn't come across wrong to anybody, but it seems like a step up in the way the time period where we drafted the three of the bigger prima donnas in the NBA. You know, we drafted players based on their skill and their ability, and we drafted three really good fucking players. Like, but I mean, like, Russ is still my boy. I love Russ till it's over, but, like, he's just, you know, all three of them, they had big attitudes, big personalities in a different sort of way. I feel like they're drafting professionals. They're building professionals. They're building guys who know how to deal with the media. Like, every time I hear Shea speak to the media, he seems respectful as possible. He says what he needs to say. He shares his opinion. It's very well articulated. You see that happening with all our guys. You see them all, you know, being very positive with the media. And I think that it's just a culture, and it's just impressive to me. I think you got to select players based on who they are, not just how they play.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And I think that that's why we're seeing a lot of young men in the NBA get in trouble for stupid shit. And you see the Oklahoma City Thunder, and it continues to, you know, like, we're watching these young men get better instead of spending time doing stupid shit. So great job by the organization. Great game last night, 117-111. Final OT, man. If you haven't seen it, I guarantee you can find stuff on YouTube, and especially all the plays. Guys, look up this. It's totally worth watching, totally worth listening to. Whatever you can do, the game was truly spectacular. We had a number of runs where we came back from double digits, being down double digits. And I'm telling you guys, it's the heart. These guys have heart. They have the desire to win. And that means, guess what? We're not tanking. And I still laugh every single time I get on Twitter. I still laugh when there's like, yes, we're 500. Imagine how good we're going to be with Chet and a number or a top three pick from next year. And it's like, you guys don't understand. You guys just don't understand what this Oklahoma City Thunder team is trying to do. And that's why we have a really powerful listening base. Guys that believe what we're doing is right. And I don't know, man. I kind of sucks Mark wasn't able to get on where we're on tonight, but I really appreciate you jumping on, because I had all this excitement. Yeah. I had all this like passion that I had to get out, because I'm just fucking pumped right now, man. Like, this team needed a win like this, and we got that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big counter to what a lot of people are saying, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that this year. I think we're going to start proving it. I mean, the rest of the NBA has got it figured out. All the sportscasters, all the announcers, they're all talking about it. So it's just a matter of time, bro.
No doubt, man. And we'll be back tomorrow. Mark and I will be back tomorrow. John is going to be joining us on Wednesday, guys. So stay tuned for that. We're pumped to have him back being part of our show. So thanks again, guys. And we'll be back again tomorrow. We love you guys. Take it easy.